Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. This week, we'll start off with an episode of The Lineup. The Lineup refers to a stage where a number of people, mostly criminals, that look like the suspect, are lined up under bright lights, and the witness picks out the criminal. In today's episode of The Lineup, we have a program titled The Mad Bomber, and it's from June 26th, 1951.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
We can sit right here, Mr. Hunter.
How many men will we look at?
31 altogether. Our man probably won't be any of these, but we want to cover every possibility.
You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. The questions I ask these suspects send me to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers as they often lie. Bring on the lamp. All right. Come on. Open up to the end of the stage. Right on up to the end, that's right. Now turn and face front, hands to your sides, and look straight ahead. Now when I ask you questions, talk up so the people in the back can hear you. All right, number one, John Nathay, robbery. Face front and talk up. Where do you live, John?
66 on River Street.
What's that?
Seaman's Hotel.
Don't look at me. Look right out front so the people can see you. What do you do, John?
Ship's cook.
Anybody arrested with you?
No.
Any weapons?
Yes, sir.
Pistol, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
What kind of pistol?
32, I think.
38, I know.
Yes.
You have a car?
Yeah, Chrysler.
Well, a sedan, a coupe, or what?
Sedan.
What color?
Black.
Okay. Number two, David Moore, assault. Where do you live, Dave?
205 South Maple.
Can't hear him, Matt.
Now, look, I don't want to tell you boys again. It's a long way to the back of the room, so you got to talk up. Come on, now. Where do you work, Dave?
Fisherman's Sons.
What do you do? What's your work?
Tom.
Your landlady says you hit her.
Yes, sir.
With what?
A hot plate.
Something you cook on?
Yes, sir. I was cooking. She said I was smelling up the building.
Why did you hit her?
Oh, it's a long story, Sergeant. You'd have to know my landlady.
Okay, number three, Ivan Seiberling, drunk and disorderly.
Any of these men, Mr. Hunter?
No. Gray Park, 644 North Orchard Place.
Don't tell me. Tell the people out there.
Yeah.
What do you do, Ivan?
Construction engineer.
You were pretty drunk.
Yes, sir.
The arresting officer said he's had complaints before.
Yes, sir. She has complained for a week.
Who's she?
My wife.
You live at 644 North Hudson?
Yes, sir.
The report says you broke a window at that address.
The door was locked. I broke one other night, too, when she locked me out. I will keep right on breaking them until she leaves door unlocked.
Maybe you'd better stop drinking.
Yes, sir.
Any questions or identifications from the audience?
How about it, Mr. Hunter? Number two was picked up in your neighborhood.
No.
Any questions or identifications from
the
audience?
Okay, we'll look at the next bunch. Nothing, Matt.
All right. All right, run them off. Bring on the next line.
Cup of coffee, Mr. Hunter?
Thank you.
Yeah, we won't keep you much longer. There you are.
Thank you.
Sergeant Greb should be here any minute now.
Hi.
This Mr. Hunter, man. Sergeant Greb.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Hunter?
Sergeant.
Grab a chair, man.
Thanks. Hey, I voted for you in the last election, Mr. Hunter.
Good.
Didn't you spot anybody in the line at all?
No, I didn't.
Coffee, man?
No, thanks.
Mr. Hunter can't think of anybody who'd want to kill him.
And you can't remember seeing anybody suspicious hanging around your house?
No, I can't, Sergeant.
Well, none of your neighbors saw anybody either.
Here's a report from the lab. Bomb was a time bomb. Found pieces of an old alarm clock. From the size of the explosion, must have been about 8 or 10 sticks of dynamite.
Sure lucky you and the family were in the back of the house.
Very lucky.
Now, we'll do our best to catch whoever it was, sir.
Probably just a crank. A man like myself, politics, public figure, makes a lot of enemies for one reason or another. Maybe this one didn't vote for me last election, Sergeant. Come to think of it, maybe.
Yeah. Well, we may want to talk to you again, sir. Pardon me. Guthrie. Yeah? Oh, yeah? How long ago? Anyone hurt? Right, sure. Another bombing.
What?
Friend of yours, Councilman Adams.
Well, was he hurt?
Yeah, both he and his wife. They're in the hospital.
They've got a child.
No, the child's all right. Ruined the house.
Were Adams and his wife hurt badly?
Well, I don't know. Ambulance took him away. I'll have to check with the hospital.
This is awful. Everybody should certainly be warned.
Well, they will be, including the mayor. We'll put a man with you and your family, Mr. Hunter. In the meanwhile, we'll go and look at Mr. Adams' house.
I got a man over here who thinks maybe he saw the guy who planted the bomb.
Oh, well, let's go talk to him. Go over and talk to Chief Anderson, Matt. See what he's got to say about the damage.
Sure. This man's a neighbor. His name's Crump. Mr. Crump.
Yes, Sergeant?
This is Lieutenant Guthrie.
How are you, Mr. Crump?
Oh, glad to meet you, Lieutenant.
Let's move over here where we can talk.
All right.
All right. Now, tell the lieutenant just what you told me, Mr. Crump.
Well, about 4:30, I was working in my backyard mowing the lawn, and I saw Mrs. Adams get into her car and drive out of the garage. Well, about an hour later, I went around front to get the hose, and I saw an old truck pull up across the street. I saw a man get out, kind of an old man, you know, old clothes. Mm-hmm. He went around the back of the truck and took out something that looked like a box. It was about this big, I guess.
Yeah.
Then he headed for the Adams house. A couple hours later, I was sitting in my living room, and I saw Mr. and Mrs. Adams pull up in front of their house and go in. A little while later, my wife and I were having dinner, and the explosion happened. Busted most of the windows in our house. I didn't think about the old guy with the box until I found out what had happened, and I remembered reading about this other bombing yesterday. Figured that box the old guy was carrying might have been the bomb.
Yeah, I see. Can you remember what this old guy looked like?
Well, maybe if I saw him again.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of a truck was he driving?
Oh, it's a real old one, really beat up, at an old Ford or Chevy. You know, one of those pickups. What did you say?
I said you didn't get the license number.
Oh, no. Why would I get it? I didn't even think anything about it until after the explosion.
Well, if you saw him again, do you think you might recognize him?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, all right. Thank you very much, Mr. Crump. We'll keep in touch with you.
Oh, glad to help.
Fine. Get Mr. Crump's phone number and anything we might need.
Right.
I'll be up with Matt.
Okay.
Ben.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, Guthrie.
Quite a mess, huh?
Yeah. Bomb do all that?
Bomb and the fire. Used more dynamite than the last time. Blew this room sky high. Oh, watch out for the glare.
Yeah.
The center of the explosion was right about here.
Uh-huh.
Probably walked up to the side of the house, stuck the bomb into that opening in the foundation. Surprised nobody saw him.
Well, somebody thinks he did.
Well, you better catch this boy. He hasn't killed anybody yet, but he's trying pretty hard.
Cold.
Yeah, paper says snow. How'd you make out with Crump?
Nothing. He looked through the whole mug file, not a thing.
I talked to the hospital this morning. Adams isn't going to be all right.
No luck on that old Ford pickup?
Why don't you turn up the heat?
Oh, okay.
Say, I bet we get a blizzard. We're due, you know.
Guthrie?
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah? And what was he wearing? Well, that sounds like him. We'll be right down. Well, maybe we got the bomber.
Yeah?
20 minutes ago, picked up a man wearing old coveralls and a dirty leather jacket coming out of the state building. Spotted him, followed him 3 blocks before they grabbed him. He was climbing into an old Ford pickup with 30 sticks of dynamite in the back of the truck. Set, man?
Yeah, Ben. I got Crump sitting out front.
How many men are you going to show?
3 besides the suspect.
Okay. I'll go sit with Crump. Hello, Mr. Crump?
Hello. Oh, Lieutenant Guthrie, I couldn't see.
Yeah, well, we want you to look at some suspects.
Oh, that's what Sergeant Greb said.
Yeah, we think one of them might be the man who planted the bombs.
Well, I hope I can help.
All right, Ben, run them on.
Yes, sir. Lights! Bring them on, Quine. All right, come on, move out to the end of the stage. Come on. Down the line.
You all got on coveralls and leather jackets.
Now, take a good look.
All right, now, turn
the man in the end, Lieutenant.
Yeah, what about him?
Yeah, that's the man, no doubt about it. I remember better than I thought I would. He's the one that got out of the truck, all right, the one with the box.
All right, Matt, run him off.
Yes, that's all. I'm off.
Well, we'll need a statement from you, Mr. Crump.
Oh, sure. What were the others arrested for?
They weren't, Mr. Crump. 3 others were police officers.
Edmund O'Brien, who plays the title role in Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, will be on his latest case tomorrow night over most of these same CBS stations. In one of his most thrilling investigations, Johnny Dollar goes to London to join forces with the men from Scotland Yard in the Hatchet House theft matter. How that London trip had Johnny Dollar's famous old expense account. Don't miss Johnny Dollar on Wednesdays.
Be a tough nut. Arresting officers couldn't get a thing out of him. We've got men over there talking with people in the state building. So far, nobody remembers seeing him come in.
Name's Lewis Black, huh?
Yeah, driver's license, gave his address at 1910 East Flower. Ash is over there now checking. I wonder what he was doing in the state building.
Yeah, I'm worried, too.
I wonder if... Oh, no. No, he couldn't have.
A big building. I hope you're right. Hello, Lewis. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Grimm. Quine?
Yeah.
We'll see you upstairs.
Right.
Sit down, Lewis. I want to talk to you about these bombings.
We know you made those bombs.
The man saw you walk up to the Adams house with one of them.
It's sheer cold in here.
Yeah, it started to snow.
That's right, that's right.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, I made them, sure.
Why?
I mean, I don't have to tell you why.
You put one of them under George Hunter's house. Do you know him?
Know who he is.
But you don't know him personally?
No.
Did you know Adams?
No.
Well, then why try to kill him?
Isn't there a heater in here or something? I've been out of work.
Been out of work long?
Yeah.
Hunter or Adams have something to do with it?
You sure want to know why I made those bombs, don't you?
We'd like to know.
It's no fun being out of work. I've been out of work for a long time. You ever been out of work?
Yeah.
Well, then you know it's no fun.
You try to get a job?
Oh, sure, I couldn't. I kept trying. Just couldn't get one. Look, do we have to sit in here? It's really getting kind of cold.
We'll get out of here as soon as you tell us about it.
Don't try to push me. I don't like being pushed around. I can stand it down here just as long as you can.
We're not trying to push you.
No?
No. We don't like this any better than you do. It's just a job. If it weren't us, it'd be somebody else.
Okay. If you had a job, you'd try to do it the best you could, wouldn't you?
Well, sure. I used to have jobs all the time. I always did the best I could.
What kind of jobs did you have?
Oh, all kinds. I was a miner once. I worked in Pennsylvania.
Is that where you're from, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I did all kinds of jobs once. Then I couldn't get it. Nobody would give me a job. That's the trouble. It's not enough jobs. I got to do something about getting jobs for people. A bunch of dirty politicians. They don't worry about guys like me. They make speeches, sure. Yeah, they get elected. They don't do nothing.
Like Adams and Hunter.
You're darn right. Adams, Hunter, the whole bunch.
Even the mayor.
Sure, the mayor.
And the governor.
He's the worst one of the bunch. He's the biggest. He could do something if he wanted to, but he don't. Gee, I ain't had a job in 3 years.
Now. You'd like to take care of him like you did Adams and Hunter, wouldn't you?
I'm not going to tell you anything. You think I'm going to tell you something, don't you? But I'm not.
What were you doing in the state building?
Why don't you try and find out?
Look, Lewis, we don't want you to get into any more trouble than you're already in.
I don't want to talk anymore. I want to go back to my cell. I'm cold.
You can go back to your cell as soon as you talk.
Lieutenant, can I see you a minute?
Yeah, Clark.
Sergeant, can't we have some heat in here? I'm cold.
Dad, we've got a janitor upstairs from the state building. He remembers seeing Lewis Black come into the building by the side entrance. He says Black was carrying a big box.
Holy. Look, see that the state building's cleared as fast as possible. Rope off the street. Step on it.
Right.
Lewis, I just found out that you planted a bomb in the state building.
I don't care what you found out. I'm not going to tell you.
I'm tired of playing with you. Where's that bomb? Where did you put it?
Oh, sugar, you can do anything you want. Get rough. Beat me. I won't tell you where I put that bomb.
Well, at least tell us when it's set to go off.
What time is it?
It's 6 minutes to 5.
You won't find it.
How much time?
About 40 minutes, I guess.
Everybody's out of the building. You find out where he put it?
No, he wants it to go off. We got him over in the car with Waldo and Asher. They'll keep working on him.
It's Army car. Captain Phillips, demolition expert.
I'm Phillips.
And Guthrie, hope we can use you.
Know what kind of a bomb it is?
Quine will tell you all we know. We've got to get into that building and try to find it.
There are 30 men in there now covering every floor.
Who's in charge?
Harrison. He's in the basement.
Come on, men. What time is it?
We've got about 25 minutes, more or less.
Any luck?
Not yet, Lieutenant.
Harrison's still in the basement?
Yeah, Dano's there.
Thanks.
All right, Bill, be sure to check it out. Yeah. We'll take it thorough now.
Harrison.
Yeah, over here, Ben.
Well, any luck?
No. How much time we got?
Less than 25 minutes. What orders did you give?
Well, if the bomb's found, it's to be taken directly to the street. If we've still got any time left, the car will drive it to a safe place. That army man get here?
Yeah.
Well, this is the way I want it to go. It's 5:13 by my watch. Set your watch.
Right.
Now, at exactly 5:25, order your men out of here. Tell them they've got 10 minutes to get clear. We'll go tell the rest on the other floors.
Right, Ben.
All right, men. Come on. Let's go under the stairs. Check
that. Can you run an elevator, man?
Well, sure.
Now, take the second floor. I'll take the ordnance, third, fifth, and so on. Be sure they set their watches with yours.
Right, Ben.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir?
You got a watch?
Yes, sir.
Set it with mine. 5 seconds, it'll be 5:14:35. Now. Okay. Have all your men off this floor by 5:25.
5:25, yes, sir.
Everybody's out.
Yeah.
Well, what do we do?
That's a good question. Black wasn't lying. We've got something like 10 minutes. Man.
Yeah?
Go out to the car and get Black.
Huh?
Go out and get Black. Maybe the last thing I do, but I'm going to find out where that bomb is.
I'm okay.
Give me a little trouble.
All right. Get out of here.
Wait a minute. Suppose you find out where the bomb is. Who's going to watch Black while you get it?
I'll worry about that when I get to it.
I'm staying.
Okay, I can't argue. How about it, Black? You want to tell us where it is?
You never find it.
What time is it?
5:28.
Ah, you can't scare me. You think if you keep me here, I'd tell you where the bomb is, huh?
About 5 minutes, huh?
I guess so.
You're not very smart. I said 40 minutes. Well, maybe 40, but maybe not. I can't be sure. Might go off in a second.
I guess so.
Ah, who are you kidding? You won't stay in here. You're scared.
Listen, Black. You're darn right we're scared. But so help me, you're going to tell us where that bomb is, or it's going to blow all of us sky high. Now, shut up unless you want
to
tell us.
I'm not afraid to die.
Well, you're going to have a chance.
8 stories in this building.
Yeah.
If it's too far away, we may not have time anyway.
Let me out of here.
You're not going anywhere.
You're going to stay right here until you tell us where it is.
I'll tell you, I won't.
Well, then shut up.
Black, you're not doing anything but wrecking a building and killing yourself. You can't get the governor. He's been taken out.
Can't make me tell you.
Okay.
How much dynamite's in that bomb, Lewis?
50 sticks.
Hope you guessed right about the time.
Ben?
Yeah?
I told you would snow.
Oh. Gonna be a big one. Lewis, why don't you tell us?
I can stand it if you can.
5:30.
All right. I'll tell you it's in the beach.
Show us.
All right.
Step on it.
How much time is it?
Not much. Can you stomp it?
Yeah.
Now, where?
It's up there. On top of the big pipe. You see in the back?
How did you get up there?
Here with the ladder. Where's the ladder? Everything's been moved.
Forget the ladder. Show us the spot.
Right about here.
Give him a boost up.
Come on. Put your foot in my hand.
No wonder we couldn't find it. You see it?
Yeah.
Well, grab it.
All right,
hand it down. Okay.
Let's get out of here. Let it go off. We don't care. We might not have time to stop.
Can I tear off these boards without setting it off?
Yeah.
Well, explain it to me while I rip them off.
I don't remember. Please, let's get out of here.
If you want to get out of here alive, you better remember.
Well, it's dynamite. It's an old alarm clock. It's batteries and breakers. The alarm goes off and causes the circuit in the batteries.
Okay. Now take it apart.
No. Let me get out of here.
You're going to stay right here.
You'll blow us all up with you.
Now, you settle down.
Come on, Lewis. Tell me. Tell me what to do.
The wires from the battery to the dynamite. Pull them loose.
These?
Yes, those.
Okay. Now, you sure that does it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get it out to the street.
Can you make it all right, Ben?
Yeah. All right, let's go. All right, Lewis. What is it?
That's the alarm clock.
Those wires.
Give me
that thing. It would have.
Oh.
Ben. I may be late to the station in the morning. I'm going to take my alarm clock and throw it as far as I can.
Lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again an hour earlier, a week from next Thursday, when we will again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention?
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, is written by Blake Edwards with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Howard McNear was heard as Lewis Black. Featured in tonight's cast were Jim Backus, Hi Everback, Sidney Miller, Peter Leeds, Joe Duvall, and Harry Lang. The Lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. next week, the lineup will be heard on a new day at a new hour, Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This is Dan Cumberly inviting you to join us July 5th, a week from next Thursday, when we will again bring you The Lineup. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was an episode of The Lineup, The Mad Bomber, from June 26, 1951. Next is an episode from The Arthur Godfrey Show. It's from 1953, and we'll follow that with an episode of Johnny Mercer's Music Shop from 1944.
Kleenex tissues present Arthur Godfrey Time. Yes, it's Arthur Godfrey Time with all the little Godfreys, brought to you by Kleenex. And you know, it's Kleenex tissue time at your favorite store right now. And now Kleenex, the tissue that pops up and meets you halfway, presents Arthur, the man who'll tell you all about Kleenex tissue time, Godfrey.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a silly introduction. Kleenex, the tissue that pops up and meets you halfway, presents Arthur, the man who will tell you all about Kleenex time. God, what kind of a silly thing is that?
I haven't the slightest idea, sir.
Let's think of a new one.
All right.
That one is from Egypt. It's Sphinx. Oh, hey. I got an Egyptian knock-knock for you.
An Egyptian knock-knock?
Yeah. Knock-knock.
Right. Who's there?
Pharaoh.
Pharaoh who?
Pharaoh, where is my little dog gone?
Oh.
Don't groan like that. One of the writers sent that in today.
He did?
Yeah. He wrote a whole sheet. None of it was any good except the knock-knock on the end, and that was terrible. But I didn't want to give him an inferiority complex, so I used it. All right?
Okay.
Kleenex tissue time. I want you to meet a little gal who always has got three or four of these under each and every lay. Holly Loki.
Aloha.
Aloha. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Gee, everybody feels good. That's wonderful. You don't need any Kleenex.
Oh, sure, we need them.
Oh, you need them.
We had to carry them in our bags, you know, after we get through with the show. Why, this part of this makeup has to come off. Looks pretty bad on the street.
You said it, kid.
So we use Kleenex if you take it off.
You see, Mr. Sponson, my cast is right on a ball just like that. So never mind thinking about that other show. This is the one. Kleenex tissue time. This is a little gal that'll help to remind you of Kleenex when you see her. What do they call her? Little Lulu.
Little Lulu.
Little Lulu. Holly, let's do some Hawaiian music. I feel like playing the ukulele.
All righty.
You like the Mauna Loa?
Fine.
I wish I knew the lyrics to this thing. I like to sing them for her to dance.
Let's get together.
Are we all playing the same tune? I hit a D7th and it doesn't match anything you got over there.
You should have an F at the beginning.
Oh, excuse me, I got the music for Blue Hawaii. It's no wonder.
Mauna Loa, la ki kala nui. Hoi hoi mai o e ku aloha la e. Ka waloa nei. Weiki no o e a e hele na la me kai po manua I. Ana unoho I e o niho o kahi la e. Kaukaua. Ko haina ka haua po popola ai i ai ka elelu. Ana unoho i e ka havele nei e. Ko ka hama a mio mio. Haina. Aina i e mai e na kapuana. Tu o ia hele peula. Ana unoho i e o ni o o kahila e. Pela o ka ua.
Wait till you hear the song Holly has for you tonight on our television show. Gee, it's a beautiful thing. What's the name of it? Waters of Waikiki?
Dance to Hula in the Sea.
Golly whiz, I'm really close this morning. Where did I get Waters of Waikiki? Where was...
Well, the first couple of lines in the song is Waters of Waikiki.
Oh. They dance the hula in the sea. Boy, you dance the hula in the sea, you sure make a lot of whirlpools, would you? Well, this is a beautiful thing. Who wrote this? Kaliolani?
Alvin Kaliolani.
In the islands, huh? This is not a Tin Pan Alley song, is it?
Mm-mm.
This is written over in the islands, and it's beautiful. We're going to do it for you tonight. Holly is. And the McGuire sisters have got a song for you tonight that's out of this world. Gee whiz, it's good. What's the name of the thing?
Oh, by Jingo.
Huh?
Oh, by Jingo.
That real old time, you know. Oh, by gosh, by gee, by somebody. They've got the cutest arrangement, huh? When you get a cold, Kleenex tissues. Soft and soothing to the sore schnozzle. So lint-free, non-irritating. And remember, Kleenex alone has this exclusive feature. Pull one out, the next one pops up. And I've never been able to make one miss yet. That's because of a very expensive piece of machinery they have that does this. And that's why it is exclusive with them, because it's too costly to do it. And all the competitors haven't got into that. This is a wonderful, wonderful feature. Pull one up and the next one pops right up behind it. Gentlemen, the ladies know all about this, but this is great for men folks, too. Carry a little packet like that. They don't pop up like you do out of that box. It's impossible to pack them that way in these things, but they're still easy to get out. You can carry this in your pocket. You see, nobody knows you have it. And very handy deal. Women know all about this. They got one in their pocketbook all the time. Give one of these to the kids to take to school with them. Kleenex tissues, remember? Don't put a cold in your pocket. Use Kleenex tissues and throw them away. I want to show you something I got. We were talking about it the other day. Remember the Ingersoll dollar watch?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got one.
Wow.
I haven't had one since I was a kid, and I used to be so proud of it. And I got a very nice letter from the United States Time Corporation of Waterbury, Connecticut, James Remington McCarthy. He says, Mr. Godfrey, recently you sounded mildly nostalgic again about the old dollar Ingersoll. Well, here is an Ingersoll pocket watch, modern version. And to make certain it doesn't stray into somebody else's pocket around CBS, we have it engraved for you. And look, see, they have on the back. And on the back it says, to Arthur Godfrey, have a good time with best wishes of the U.S. Time Corporation. Isn't that nice? And these Ingersolls have a second hand on them now, see? He says, this is no longer a turnip, and it's no longer a dollar. But it is the same old quality several generations of Americans knew and loved. We thought you might also like to see the enclosed photostat of two letters from Mark Twain to us, written in 1901. Here's the photostat of the two letters from Mark Twain. The first one is dated 14 West 10th Street, New York City, May 21st, 1901. I was 2 years and 3 months before I was born. Says, Dear Sirs, please send me a watch, $1 enclosed. Yours truly, Mark Twain. And the next letter says, on the top, $1 enclosed, 14 West 10th Street. He still was there. He paid his rent that month. Dear Sir, please send me another watch and oblige, Sam Clemens. Something to see, huh? Well, Mark Twain was crazy about these watches. So, weren't you fellas, did you remember having these when you were kids, huh? I wonder, how much do they cost now, Tony?
I don't have any idea, sir, but it's a very moderate price and well worth the amount of money expended for a timepiece of that quality. And my address is Massapequa, Long Island.
I'm very proud to have that. That's wonderful. I used to have a fob. I always carried it down.
Well, they're coming back, by the way, Arthur.
Watch fobs?
Yes, indeed, with the new fancy waistcoats, you know. Now they're bringing back the fobs and the watch chains, and I'm afraid the men who still own some of these very, very delightful heavy gold chains are going to lose them to the girls because the ladies' stylists have taken up the same thought. They're now wearing, in addition to the old Chatelaine belt, they're now wearing watch fobs and heavy watch chains. But it's quite a wonderful style.
Where have you seen this, in Paris?
Well, for a moment there, along the Rue de la Paix, I saw some very interesting watch fobs. At least I thought they were watch fobs. I'm not certain now.
On the Rue de la Paix? You see anything on the Rue de la Paix?
Mais oui.
Oui?
Where would
you
wear a watch fob?
Huh?
Where would a girl wear a watch fob?
In a girdle, probably. I don't know.
Oh, they wear them with their fancy waistcoats also.
You mean the girls are wearing the waistcoats?
Yes, they're wearing little versions of the waistcoat and also these lovely cinch belts. And they throw a fob over the top of the belt. Very attractive. It's just coming to the States. It'll be here in about a month. I just made it up. Give them time.
Why is that? Why does France dictate fashion policies to us?
Oh, I don't know. I think women in America have always looked towards the old country for the more involved charm. On the other hand, I think that our American designers far surpass anything else in the world.
They surpass, all right. When you're over in Europe, the only thing the women are interested in is what's the latest American fashion.
Exactly.
We're the suckers.
Oh, incidentally, Arthur, if I may bring it up, speaking of fashions and the designers, Madame Schiaparelli, who is really world-famous as a designer, has created a little apron which was given away, or will be given away, to the people who are at the Pillsbury show in Paris. And she has seen to it, with Mr. Paul Giraud's blessing, too, of course, that every one of the girls in our cast get one of her new aprons. It's an off-the-shoulder with a little frou-frou à la derrière.
A little foo-foo on the derriere, huh?
Very lovely, and it has a...
Hawaiian translation, lay on the okole.
That looks pretty funny.
Huh? No. It looked very funny, isn't it?
Very attractive.
Especially on some of the derrières I know. Oh, that's wonderful. I would like very much to see that. How long were you in Paris?
About a day and a half, Arthur. You see, we flew into Orly Field at...
This is an old Frenchman, isn't he?
We didn't stop for a moment. We flew in at 3:30, I think it was 3:30 Paris time, and we, it was Friday. We left Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Well, you did pretty good. You could get three cases of indigestion in that time. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to dine?
Well, the first evening, we hit a number of spots after the reception at the American Embassy. And, and Basper and Mrs. Dillon give you their very best, by the way.
My compliments to the ambassador. Thank you very much, Mr. Marvin. This concludes the Kleenex Hour. Have a blow. This is CBS Radio Network.
Fellas, hope you feel tip-top. This is Johnny Mercer in his music shop. All you soldiers, sailors, and Marines out there, all you gals in the service, we're on the air.
Welcome by way of rebroadcast to Johnny Mercer's music shop with Joe Stafford, Paul Weston's orchestra, the Pied Pipers with June Hutton, yours truly, Wendell Niles, and that singing salesman behind the counter, Johnny Mercer.
Yes, hoping we get your steady vote. We remain yours truly, unquote.
Greetings, all you solid citizens. This is your Mercerized Music Shop representative, Jonathan Q, welcoming you to the festivities here around the counter. Right here now, Paul Weston and the boys have agreed to turn me and the pipers loose on a little thing called How Many Hearts Have You Broken? So don't say I didn't warn you. How many hearts have you broken with those great big beautiful eyes? Those great big beautiful eyes that tell such beautiful lies.
How many times have you kissed somebody like you kissed me then? I don't believe you mean it,
but baby, kiss me again. How many hearts have you stranded on that dreamy road to romance? Baby, I'll take a chance. I need some loving. Can't resist you, even though I'm wise. To how many hearts you've broken with those great big beautiful eyes. On that dreamy road to romance, baby, I'll take a chance.
I sure could use a new romance.
I just can't resist you.
Couldn't find the baby I kissed you. How many hearts have you broken with those great bits?
Sharp as a marble,
beautiful,
quiver like a neon.
How many hearts have you broken with those great big beautiful eyes?
Tell the folks that new dream we got in today, will you, Joe? Every day of my life.
Every day of my life, you. For the love that we knew is no more, you're still dear to me. With each breath I take, I just lie awake. Tender thoughts of you fill my heart. Every day of my life I live just for you, and I'll treasure each moment we spent when our love was new. I'll keep hoping someday you'll return. And I'll wait here every day.
Now comes a new instrumental by that talented and prolific songwriter, Harry Warren. This one is called Java Junction. Mr. Weston, the downbeat, if you please. I guess I hardly need to tell you, that little tune means memory time around the music shop. And I'm sure none of us could have a nicer memory than that of Joe Stafford singing together.
We stroll the lane together, laughed at the rain. Cast lovers. side together. You're gone from me, but in my memory, we always will be.
Having billed myself as a songwriter around town, sometimes I have a hard time living up to it. Just how hard is evidenced by this new thing I wrote for you customers today. It's called the Birmingham Bertha. Birmingham Bertha's the gal for me. There ain't a chick half as sharp as she. Spreading her wings in the evening breeze, as nice as you please. I like her shape and I like her size. That goes for me and nine other guys. Lucky for us that Bertha's got size. She never makes a fuss. There's room for all of us. All that she wants for the dates we have is a thank you, ma'am. She's the one who puts on the finest show. From Pearl Harbor to Tokyo. Big, fat, beautiful Bertha from Birmingham. Parades down the landing field, everybody scrams, because who makes all of the direct hits on those zeros and Messerschmitts? It's big, fat, beautiful Bertha from Birmingham. Thank you, people, for bearing with us this PM. And say, don't pass us up tomorrow, because we've got a talented little miss from the cinema dropping in. And that would be Diana Lynn. So, till then, keep those home fires burning, will you?
Dream, that's the thing to while the smoke rings rise in the air, you'll find your share of memories there. So dream when the day. Thank you.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.